5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily jab of truth.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
No, it comes. I'm going to punch him out. If I'm going to punch him out, I'm going to go to jail.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
The MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell Radio Program, where we serve you 3 hours of just common sense conservative values every single weekday. So delighted to be with you. Wendy Bell Radio Network app. Follow the live stream. We have a podcast, Wendy Bell Radio. We're on television. We're all over the place. We're just thrilled that you're here. Lots to talk about. Obviously, this Robert Hur special prosecutor case against Joe Biden, or not against, but digging into Joe Biden and his misuse, intentional, of classified information. Well, we're going to talk about that because there's a tale of two different cities, a tale of two parties, a tale of feels like two countries in these United States of America. We're going to give you the sound you need to make the best decisions for you and your family. That's how we roll. And we're just delighted you're here. So next time, maybe bring a friend and stay a while. I think you're going to like what you hear. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. I'm going to tell you a story. I don't want you to think it's a story of me bragging as a mom, because like you, it's tough. It's tough raising kids today. It was always tough raising kids. It's difficult. There are a lot of distractions. There are a lot of detours on one's journey through life that they could take, that they could make, that they could choose. And my husband Joe and I work really hard with these kids, but they're on their own to make decisions that are best for them. And so when we get to see them do well in school, it's not because I'm nagging them about doing their homework or I'm pestering them about their test scores. Long ago, they were told, if you believe, you will achieve. If you believe that you can do it and you put the time in to do it, you will do it. And you should expect to do it. And you should be proud of doing it. And then you should reach further. That's sort of the message of my parenting. So last night, we're cleaning up dinner. Joe and I are in the kitchen doing dishes and other things. Our twins are sitting at the kitchen island. They're eating their meals. Everybody's kind of come and go. And our son, Ryan, middle son, comes downstairs and he has this look on his face. A look of joy and excitement and pride and everything mushed together. And I thought for sure he had heard from one of his colleges, because this is the time now. Waiting to hear from those schools that he has been either deferred from or just hasn't heard from yet. And he comes downstairs and I said, what is it? And he says, it's not about school, about college. He said, I just found out, I got a letter from high school that said because of my grades and activities and whatnot, I am in the top 5% of my graduating class, which makes me one of the top 8 students in the class. And I said, oh my gosh. That is tremendous. I've never been the top 5% of anything scholastic. I went to a public school and I did well enough. I got into college and graduate school and learned work ethic and realized that indeed, if you're passionate about something and you're willing to put in the time and you do love that grind, whatever your grind and jam is, that all of a sudden the pieces of life seem to click together. To see your kid get it at 18 is a big deal. And he's beaming and he says, I've been given the opportunity to present some kind of an essay, a speech, and maybe even be chosen, depending on my activities and contributions to the school, I might be selected to be a speaker on graduation day. I was delighted for him. Now, he was sharing with us, not because he was hoping for an attaboy, but he was truly excited and proud. And the twins, who are 15, were sitting at the island, and they had turned around to look at him, and I was waiting. What's going to be the response? Five boys in the family, lots of picking at each other, but a lot of also congealing as brothers and being good to one another. So after I said, Ryan, that is such wonderful news. I am over the moon for you. Bobby said, that is outstanding. And Chris was like, oh, way to go, Ryan. So good. Really happy for you. And my heart was complete. Little things like that matter. They don't come often. Sometimes they take years. Sometimes you only get one or two of them in your lifetime. But in that moment, I took my bread and I soaked up the gravy and I loved every minute of it. People are driven. They're motivated by whatever it is that fuels them, what fires them, what burns them inside and moves them forward. And when you start doing things not for the pleasure or the approval or the judgment of others, but you do it because you know that you can and that you should. And then you do. It's different. It's different. And I look at the world that we're in right now, this government that thinks they make all the decisions for us. And I sure wish there had been more Ryans in these branches, in these cabinet positions, in these positions of power, than some of the clods that we have today. Because we are watching, I believe, and we saw it on television yesterday, center stage, if you watched any of the Robert Herr congressional kind of testimony, if you will, before the House Judiciary Committee, you really see a tale of two different kinds of people, of thinking, of governance, of priorities. And it's so clear to me which side is preferable. Neither is perfect. But if we're going to live in this world of intellectual integrity and honesty, you can't listen to what you're about to hear on this program in the minutes ahead. The comments and the line of questioning and the ideas coming out of the Democrat members of this panel versus what you heard coming out of the Republicans. It's not even close, right? I mean, you cannot tell me in these national polls that Donald Trump is only leading Joe Biden by a tenuous, razor-thin margin of 1% to 2%. You cannot tell me that we have gone through 3 years of proof that living with diversity and equity and inclusion as the standards of hiring practices and people being elevated into other positions. You cannot tell me that it works. It does not work in colleges and universities. It sure as hell does not work in our government. And we need to get comfortable rolling up our sleeves and calling a spade a spade. We need to get back to the meritocracy. We need to get back to that old-fashioned, you earned it. You outworked everybody else. You outthought everybody else. You daydreamed about it. It became your hobby. It became your passion. And you became extraordinary. I want you on my team. I want you in this administration. I want you handling something important. I want your ideas. I want your innovation. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how you pray, if at all. I don't care whom you love. I don't care. Do you have what it takes to be extraordinary? And will you be? Because that's not black or white or Jewish or Catholic or Republican or Democrat. And that used to be taught. That used to be the conversation at the dining room table, in the kitchen around the island where my kids all sit. With six stools. There are seven of us. There's a reason there's only six stools. And it's really so I can selfishly stand and breathe it all in every day, every night, every meal, to listen to my sons unlock the mystery of their own meaning, their own purpose, their own gifts. None of these, of course, is connected to all these superficial box-checking nonsense things that we've been told must rule every hire, every admission, every decision, every everything. Now, what do we have? We have airplanes that are falling apart in the skies. We have an administration that runs our country because Joe Biden does not, cannot. And they are running it into the ground. And what you will hear in the minutes ahead is a focus not on America, not on American exceptionalism, but on something that doesn't work. And you're going to hear it for yourself. Do you want a Ryan on your team? Or do you want a box checker who believes it's their turn? We'll talk about it coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Look, this circus, this sideshow of diversity that we're told is the best and the brightest, that's not true. When you go out as Joe Biden did as a candidate in 2020, and he said that if he becomes president, that he was going to hire, he was going to ask to join him a black woman vice president. You know what I want? I want the best. And if that's a short, white, Jewish guy from Brooklyn, so be it. If it's a skinny, black woman from California, excellent. How about we just make the best the standard? There is no wavering of the standard, because when you stop having the best, you get people like Cori Bush. You get people like Ayanna Pressley. You get people who are deranged, who feel like this is their time. They are entitled. Somehow, the system has been rigged against them all these years in the United States of America, where we all have equal rights, of course. Is everything perfect? No. Do we need to go so far the other way to put people who are clearly not gifted, not talented, not intelligent, not focused, or even worse, who have ulterior motives, whose motives are contrary to how you and I believe this country should be and how we want to hand it down to the people we love the most, our children. I want you to hear Cori Bush. I want you to hear her derangement yesterday when having an opportunity to talk to Robert Herr. It's idiotic. How petty, how racially focused, how racist she is, and how deranged she is about Donald Trump. Donald Trump owns the Democrat Party. He lives in their minds. They cannot get beyond it. It is an obsession. It is an addiction. There is no AA for it. There's no meeting. There's no counselor. It is baked into the fiber of who they are and what they do. And because of that, they are ill-equipped, ineffective leaders. I wish we could spend time talking about making America great rather than litigating things of the past or doing whatever we can to destroy Donald Trump. This is your elected United States representative from St. Louis, Missouri, whose district is out of control with crime, who voted endlessly to defund the police while spending $500,000 of campaign money on her own private security. Ladies and gentlemen, those two things are not congruous. That's called hypocrisy. That's called the lunacy of Cori Bush. Listen.
And thank you for being here, Mr. Herr. St. Louis and I are here today once again to focus on the real issues that affect our communities instead of partisan hit jobs. Let me start by saying that the potential mishandling of classified information is a serious issue, and I believe it was appropriate for the Attorney General to appoint both special counsels in the Biden and Trump cases. As my colleagues have pointed out, President Biden fully complied with the investigation conducted by Special Counsel Herr, who did not find evidence sufficient to warrant criminal charges. Despite this outcome, Republicans have used the special counsel's report to further their longstanding efforts to re-elect the former white supremacist in chief, Donald Trump, who faces 40 criminal charges related to the mishandling of classified documents, including obstruction of justice.
You know, should I tell Cori Bush that every time she opens her mouth, she sticks an excrement sandwich in it? It is reprehensible. It is disappointing. It is predictable. This is what you get when you allow the crazy of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is patently foolish as an objective because it smashes the idea of meritocracy. Can you imagine a more necessary place to have the best and the brightest, right? Do you want to go into the hospital and need a surgery and find out that your surgeon, well, not that great in medical school, really didn't do great in those surgery rotations, but they are a member of a privileged community that we're looking after, and we're going to check that box and they're going to get a job. Any more than you want your pilot to care more about being LGB or T than they care about landing the damn plane. This, unfortunately, is an America of suck now. And I am encouraged that Donald Trump has this speed, this Agenda 47. There is a speedy plan in place, from what I can tell. There are plans. There are strategies. There are playbooks being designed. There are people being shored up. In Donald Trump's world, should we be so fortunate to pull the plug on another 4 years of Democrat, socialist, Marxist, communist, progressive suck? If we are so fortunate to overcome another epic cheat and we are able to put back into power common sense conservative values that encourage couples to stay together, to raise children together, that discourage abortion, that welcome people from all walks of life because the policies are rational, they are reasonable, and they are sound. Can we carve out all of these Cori Bush acolytes, the squad members who've done nothing in their home districts or for these United States that is beneficial? They bitch. They complain. They constantly make matters worse. And they allow Donald Trump to live, as they say, rent-free in their brains. When we come back, Joe Biden lied. He lied. We know he lied. And he willfully took classified documents. It ain't no debate, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of this Robert Herr hearing with some details first. Coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. All right, so we can't hear the audio recordings of this interview I guess, with Robert Hur, special prosecutor, investigating why Joe Biden has so dang many boxes of classified documents. Like, seriously classified stuff. Top secret classified documents about the war in Afghanistan, about possibly our confidential sources, about agents around the world. I mean, don't you think that protecting the national security of this country is of the highest level of importance? It should be. The Democrats don't see it that way because they saw yesterday's hearing with Robert Hur as anything they could do to impugn, malign, and make you feel uncomfortable about Donald Trump. Didn't work. It didn't work. It's just, and you need to hear it. You need to see it, so that you understand exactly what's happening. And I know you've seen a lot of the clips on your news feed. We're going to give more to you in the second hour of the show. But we did get the transcript, right? So the transcript comes out. It's hundreds of pages long. This is the transcript of this 5-hour over 2-day sit down with Joe Biden by the special prosecutor, Robert Hur. So this is the headline on Breitbart, okay? This is why the left is freaking out about any of this conversation. In this interview, it is undeniable how many times Joe Biden meanders away from a pointed question and drifts off into some other land where he recollects things. He goes into dreamscape reminiscences. You know, it's just weird. And the number of times that Bob Hur has to bring him back to focus. This is a man who has dementia, and anybody who doesn't want to say that is dancing around the fire, pretending they're not getting hot. Say it. It is what it is. It's like saying, you know, hiring a bunch of people based on their skin color when they're not qualified is a recipe for failure. That does not make me racist. And I will go to the mat with anybody who would like to allege otherwise. But this transcript shows Joe Biden making like vroom vroom noises about his Corvette. What? What the hell is going on? Headline, Breitbart.com, DOJ interview transcript. Joe Biden made car noises, often meandered off topic. Well, is anybody out there, are you guys going, what? That is, I have no idea. Really? It surprises nobody. But in these deluded states of America, you're not allowed to call a spade a spade. You're not allowed to call out the elephant in the room. I mean, can we all just say it? Dude's out of his mind. He's not there. He's not making the decisions. He's not running the country. He's not fit for office. Is that shocking to you? Of course not. The transcript of Joe Biden's interview with special counsel. Oh, I said special prosecutor. Excuse me. Special counsel, Bob Hur, showed the president frequently wandered off topic, even making car noises. The transcript obtained by Breitbart in advance of Hur's testimony to House Judiciary showed a prosecutor had asked Biden about his beloved Corvette, trying to pinpoint the timeline of when classified documents were moved to make room for his car in the home garage. Attorney Mark Crickbaum asked Biden, "Do you remember whether it was when the Corvette was coming back after the Jay Leno show?" So in other words, it goes out for Jay Leno. Eventually it comes back. Joe Biden responds, "Oh no, it was in and out for a bunch of reasons," before starting to chatter away. He says this, "Because it drove me crazy. I wanted to drive it," Biden continued. Crickbaum responded, "Got it. That makes sense. Beautiful car." According to the manuscript, Biden then proceeded to talk about his car and make car noises. Quote, "And the worst part was they said I couldn't drive it outside the driveway. It's a long driveway. So I'd get to the bottom of the driveway, tack it up to about $4,000. Indiscernible makes car sound indiscernible laughter." That's what the transcript said as it quoted Joe Biden, the president of the United States, who's involved in all of these wars all over the world. What? Biden started talking about cars in general before Hur had to interrupt with, "Sir, I'd love to hear much more about this, but I do have a few more questions to get through." Biden totally ignored him, continued talking about cars, to which Hur finally said, "All right, so let's launch into the next subject, which relates to the Penn Biden Center." Another portion of the transcript shows her asking Biden about the time he lived at the Naval Observatory as vice president. It ended up with Biden discussing a man losing part of his testicles and his penis. I'm like, what? Where did this go? So you're at the Naval Observatory. Yes, Mr. President, you're there. And they got boxes there, too. You got stuff there. Well, let me tell you this story. Well, I was, what? He then launched into a long-winded story where he talked about waiting for bar exam results and working for a law firm in the meantime that was representing a young man. And this is what he says. This is a quote. And the poor kid, he's down a 100-foot vessel, chimney, scraping the hydrogen bubbles off the inside. They were made to shut the plant down every once, whatever, about 8-6 months a year, whatever it is. And he was wearing the wrong pants, wrong jeans. And he and a spark caught fire and got caught in the containment vessel. And he lost part of his penis and one of his testicles, and he was 23 years old, Biden continued. What's going on? And Robert Hur doesn't say, bing, 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 bang, Houston, we've got a problem. This is why Joe Biden doesn't talk to the media. This is why Joe Biden refused to debate. This is why Joe Biden isn't really allowed to talk all that much and says they're going to get mad at me if I talk. He's being handled because he's demented. Period. Is it okay that we have this honest conversation? Because I'm done tiptoeing. Dude is off his rocker. Biden also meandered off on a tangent when he was asked, did you bring classified material with you from the West Wing or the Naval Observatory to the Lake House? Biden responded and then veered off into a detailed description of his office and pictures before recalling a trip to Mongolia. Quote, you know, I went to Mongolia and great pictures. I unfortunately embarrassed the hell out of the leader of Mongolia. So we're out in the middle of nowhere and they're looking up the hill and we see this tiny line. You know, it's a 20-mile horse race with all these kids under the age of 16 on bareback racing to come down, and you know there's sumo wrestlers doing everything they do. He was asked about classified documents. Biden continued to talk about how he was handed a bow and arrow and how he hit a target on a hay bale. After that story, one of the attorneys requested to take a break. Well, yeah. You guys, I'm going to give you what I believe is the bullet point takeaway from all of this. And again, we're going to play for you all the audio, right? The things that we thought were germane. The reason why Robert Hur didn't charge Joe Biden with a crime is because Joe Biden is demented. It's because Joe Biden wouldn't be able to be on trial. It's because Joe Biden wouldn't be able to manage it. There would be no focus. There would be no nothing. What Bob Hur needed to say was Joe Biden needs to retire and move along and receive the finest care possible. Not Joe Biden should be the next president of the United States again. And they want you to think it's a nail biter. I don't know if Donald Trump is going to pull it off. Are you out of your mind? I'm not. Joe Biden is. So when asked about all, I mean, I want you to think about that, because you have people in your life. You know people. You've loved people. I've loved people who lose it. And it's tragic. And it tears a family apart. And you get to a point where the best thing that you hope for is that they can just be peaceful and pain-free and not be a danger to themselves. And then hopefully die and allow the rest of us to remember the good times, the good days. And we're not supposed to talk about this. I would have said to Robert Hur, Mr. Hur, were you alarmed by the president's mental acuity? Is he fit to be president of the United States, in your assessment? Nobody did. Her did say Joe Biden's poor memory was a factor in his not charging him. He believes that there was no jury out there that would convict. That wasn't your job, sir. That wasn't your job. You're not asked to be the prosecutor, to be the jury and the judge. The question was simple. Did Joe Biden willfully, knowingly take classified documents? And did those classified documents and Joe Biden's actions threaten our national security? Yeah. Yeah. President Joe Biden's poor memory was a factor in not charging him, special counsel Robert Herkel told Congress Tuesday. He described Biden in his report as an elderly man with a poor memory. Just say it. He has dementia. He could not charge the president with willfully retaining classified documents due to lack of evidence. That's code for, dude's not there. I don't know what's willful, because he talks about vroom, vroom. And he talks about a guy losing his penis and his testicle. And he talks about Mongolia and kids riding bareback and sumo wrestlers. Like, what? It's not funny. It's not worthy of laughter. It's not a reason to point fingers and to giggle and to snicker. It's freaking mortifying. And all of these diversity hires around him who have been destroying everything that you and I care about while maintaining this charade. Hey, Chris Coons, you klutz? You call Joe Biden seasoned. Jamie Raskin wants you to believe Joe Biden is sharp as a knife. He knows. You read two pages of this transcript, and you realize that all these people have been doing is lie. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, you know, the whole idea of Robert Herr bringing up Bo Biden and Joe making some kind of a propagandist outrage. Can you believe they brought up my dead son? Who does that? It didn't happen. And we know it from the transcript. I got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. All right, so how about this headline from the Daily Wire this morning? Released transcripts show Biden lied about key detail in the documents probe. He lied. Do you guys want to, you want somebody who's in charge who lies? Who lies because that's all they know how to do? Right? And then lying on top of dementia. Well, that's a perfect experiment waiting to explode in the chemistry lab. President Joe Biden lied about his testimony with special counsel Robert Herr. According to new transcripts of the interview, Herr's February report concluded that Biden willfully retained classified documents but recommended no criminal charges, in part because he said Biden has a faulty memory, code for he's demented and won't be able to recall. One of the key details included in the report was that Biden did not remember the year his son, Bo, died. Biden said he was taken aback by the question about his son, claiming that it was her who brought up the death. There's even a reference that I don't remember when my son died, Biden said in February. How in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business. Well, unfortunately, transcripts show that it was actually Biden who brought up his son. Biden's confusion came after he was asked about what he was doing after Trump took office. Quote, and so I hadn't walked away from the idea that I may run for office again. But if I ran again, I'd be running for president, he said, according to the transcript. And so what was happening, though, what month did Bo die? Oh, God, May 30th. Two people in the interview chimed in and said it was 2015, after which Biden said, was it 2015 he had died? It was May 2015, one person responded. Elsewhere in the transcript, Biden had said, I'm a young man, so it's not a problem, when asked by her to discuss previous events as accurately as possible. Biden also made the comment about how he had hoped investigators had not found any risque pictures of my wife in a bathing suit, adding, "She's beautiful." Totally all over the place. And then coming out and saying that it was actually her who was asking about his dead son. Why would that be off limits, by the way? Anyhow, well, if your whole life in office is predicated on sympathy, on tragedy, on the loss in your life, be it in 1972 when his wife and his daughter died in the accident that injured Beau and Hunter, and his oath of office using his sons in their hospital beds as their as his backdrop to all of it, to Hunter's woes, whoa, and then Beau dying. Is there anything that they tell the truth about? No. And this is where things get really rich. And this is when you get the White House spokeshacks who get wheeled out. And even they are woefully awful. I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre was hired for not her ability to be sharp, to be knowledgeable, to front and back, in and out, know the policies and the plans and the purpose of the administration, to be able to espouse those orally, on the fly, momentarily. She was hired to be a Black, lesbian, female immigrant, right? I mean, does any of that matter to you? Because it matters a hell of a lot to them. Here's Ian Sams. He's the geek who's going to be trotted out now to talk about the emotional grief card. This is all they have. You've got John Berman on CNN. He's going to be talking about the whole bringing up Beau's death, which we just talked about. And then Ian Sams can't defend the fact that, in fact, Joe Biden is the one who was talking about it, not Robert Hur. So he pivots and he goes where they know the most. The grief, that card. Oh, feel bad. Use emotions. Listen.
Again, so this is more context about how the death of his son ever became an issue. It wasn't as if I'm not mistaken, he wasn't asked about the death of his son by the special counsel, was he?
The president was in fact asked about his work on his book about his son's passing, about his work after his vice presidency on the Biden Cancer Initiative, something that was so deeply motivated by Beau's illness and passing. These are deeply personal and emotional issues for the president. And he's talked openly about those to the American people for years about how he overcame that grief and how he worked through it and how he hoped to find purpose beyond this grief. And that was what he was being asked about. And so anybody who has even a familiarity with the president understands the personal nature of this and that he would talk about his son Beau and the impact that he had on the work that he was pursuing after his vice presidency on the book and on the cancer work. And I think that the American people can see clearly that the president doesn't need a reminder as to when his son died. He says right there, May 30th.
Apparently
this is something
he does.
That the president carries with him every single day, the memory of losing his son. Families across this country understand
there it
the
is.
Power of loss and grief and the way that that impacts someone.
Feel sorry.
And this is a president who's taken that loss and grief and turned it into purpose. And I think it just goes to show again how outrageous it was for that to even be included in this report. And don't take just my word for it. Former attorney general, former deputy attorney general, former Justice Department prosecutors, senior officials, all came out in the aftermath of this report and said this is totally inappropriate. You can make the point without talking about that. So it just shows how outrageous it was for that to be included in the final report.
Ian Sams, I know you have a busy day. We appreciate you taking some of your time.
We certainly do, Ian.
Thank
you so very much for being a part of this, Ian, because you've given us a wonderful thing to investigate. Do you notice how when they're in a hole and they realize that the emotional grief victim tragedy card isn't working, how they have to go to the, well, 51 former law enforcement officials say that it was a Russian plant, that laptop was. Well, we got all these people over here, 12 defense secretaries that Liz Cheney rounded up, who said that the military shouldn't be involved in election disputes. Oh, okay, then that must mean that we should all believe the same thing, Ian Sam says. All these people came forward and said it was really beyond the pale that Robert Hur would involve that in his report. Do you see what they're doing? Whatever they can do to pretend that Joe Biden isn't demented. He is. Duh. And you know it. And they know you know it. Which is why what you're about to hear is very interesting. We're going to start with the Republican questioning in House Judiciary. You're going to hear from Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan. You're going to hear from Laura Lee and also Kelly Armstrong. And then we're going to get the flip side with the Democrats. You decide next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.